Intervju Radija Študent.
Kaj otroke v izraelskih šolah učijo o palestincih? Pogovor z izraelsko profesorico oziroma predavateljico Nurit Pelet Elhanan. Lepo pozdravljeni na frekvenci 89,3 v intervjuju Radija Študent. Z vami sva Špela Zaregler in Boris Vasov za mikrofonom. Tokratni intervju je posvečen dogajanju v Izraelu in Palestini, vendar tema ni Gaza, oziroma vsaj neposredno ne. Posvetili se bomo okoliščinam, iz katerih se razvijajo dogodki, ki smo jim žal priča zadnje tri tedne, pravzaprav pa že vse od leta 1948 oziroma vsaj še nekaj desetletij pred tem. Gotovo je tudi vas presunilo sadistično uživanje Izraelcev, ki so z razgledne točke blizu Gaze ob pivu navijali ob spremljanju izraelskega uničevanja tega palestinskega območja. Kako do tega pride, se vprašate? Odkod izvirajo odkrito rasistične izjave najvišjih izraelskih političnih voditeljev glede palestincev? No, če je španski filozof José Ortega y Gasset dejal jaz sem jaz in moje okoliščine, je okoliščina, ki omogoča in spodbuja preomenjena ravnanje Izraelcev, izraelsko šolstvo. V predmestju Jeruzalema smo ravno o tem govorili z izraelsko predavateljico na področju jezika na Jeruzalemski hebrejski univerzi in aktivistko za človekove pravice Nurit Pelet Elhanan, sicer avtorico knjige Palestina v izraelskih učbenikih s podnaslovom Ideologija in propaganda v izobraževanju, izdane v Veliki Britaniji. Leta 2001 je Nurit Pelet Elhanan prejela nagrado Saharov, ki jo za delo na področju človekovih pravic podeljuje Evropski parlament. Pelet Elhanan je opravila raziskavo o tem, kako se v učbenikih za osnovne in srednje šole prikazuje palestince, tako tiste, ki živijo na okupiranih ozemljih, kot so Zahodni breg, Gaza in Vzhodni Jeruzalem, kot tiste, ki so državljani Izraela. Njena analiza 16 različnih učbenikov je pokazala izjemno razširjen in vse povsod prisoten rasističen diskurs, otroke pa se na tako imenovano arabsko nevarnost opozarja že v vrtcih. Na tej točki morda ni odveč podatek iz njenega osebnega življenja. Leta 97 je namreč v palestinskem samomorilskem napadu v Jeruzalemu umrla njena hčerka. Izraelski šolski sistem, opozarja Pelet Elhanan, palestince najraje ignorira. Kot da jih ni, kar je povsem v skladu s sionističnim sloganom o Palestini kot o zemlji brez ljudstva za ljudstvo brez zemlje. Ko se jih omenja, pa so predstavljeni bodi si kot teroristi, nevarnost ali zaostali kmetje, ki se ne želijo modernizirati, ne plačujejo davkov, niso civilizirani. Pogovor začenjamo z vprašanjem, kako se rasizem, ki ga omenja, izkazuje v izraelskih učbenikih.
Well, there are certain categories of racist discourse, both verbal and visual. And they all apply to the way the Israelis are portrayed in the Palestinians are portrayed in the books, beginning with not including them at all, I mean, ignoring them completely. Books, for example, that are not in my book because they were published last year, in all the books of civics and things like that, they don't exist. They're not there at all, I mean, as if they don't live here. Mm. So this is one thing which is racist, I mean, ignoring people. And then portraying them as vile and primitive and clannish and terrorists, and problems and obstacles and so on and so forth, both visually and verbally.
Is that made in a direct way or implicitly?
In all kinds of ways, but when you talk about pictures, pictures are pictures. The only pictures you do find of Palestinians in Israeli books are of terrorists, primitive farmers, refugees. Mm. You never see a normal human being who is Palestinian. You see? Mm. You don't see, for example, when they speak about Israeli society, They never mention the Arabs as part of the Israeli society, neither in pictures, not in the verbal text, only as problems of the Israeli society.
When the textbooks speak of Palestinians, do they present them as Palestinians or Arabs?
Arabs. Yeah, Palestinians only when it has to do with terror. Palestinian Authority is a terrorist organization and so on and so forth.
What is the reason behind them being portrayed as Arabs instead of Palestinians all the time?
Because it makes you view them as part of the great Arab nations, and the Arabs have 22 other countries, so they can go. That's the point. And they are not, if they are not a people, if they are not a nation, then they don't deserve to have a state.
Kot bomo slišali, sodeč po učbenikih okupacije ni, priljubljena pa je biblična terminologija. 20% izraelskih državljanov oziroma 1,5 milijona je palestincev. Kako učbeniki prikazujejo njih?
Only as problems. They are primitive, they are clannish, they don't want to develop, they don't want to be modern, they don't pay taxes, they build illegally, things like that. And they are a security problem and a demographic problem. They speak about that, yeah, demographic problem and security problem. In the territories, they're only terrorists. I mean, nobody cares for anything else. And here they are. They constitute some other problems as well.
And how is the very question of occupation, the very fact of occupation presented in these textbooks?
No occupation. There's no occupation. The whole place is Israel, and we liberated it in several wars. That's it. There's no mention of occupation.
This term liberation is a tricky one, because it depends on from which point of view you look at it.
Of course. We liberated the country, the lands, Israel. Redemption also. They use a lot of sacred words for this. Redemption and liberation, redemption. Zion, if they call, they call it this place Zion, you know, and all kinds of, you know, sacred phrases that they put in, which is intentional. It's like crusaders. Yeah.
And these textbooks, I mean, could we say that, because it is clear from what you say that the textbooks are a sort of an instrument of the state?
Of any state.
Yes, not only in the sense of educating, but in the sense of more in the sense of indoctrination.
This is education anywhere. This is the purpose of education. Each country, the education is indoctrination. Education is propaganda. Education is brainwashing. Of course, everywhere.
But in Israel, it is a bit worse than that.
I don't think in Israel it's worse, but I think in Israel, since they go to the army right after school to kill Palestinians, then it has an immediate effect. Okay, in your country they portray the neighbors as monsters, hopefully you're not killing them right away. Here it serves to kill and to torture and to behave in a non-human way. For example, my son just told us this afternoon, a woman that was having a baby was expelled from the gates of the hospital to the checkpoint because they found out she has no Jerusalem ID. Only her husband has a Jerusalem ID. So she was expelled, you know, being in labor. Can you imagine that? This type of cruelty takes very long years of education. So it's not some mental disease that made it happen, it's education that made it happen. To see this woman as not as a living creature, not even as a cat. You know? She was in labor.
Izrael je izjemno militarizirana družba. Služenje vojaškega roka je obvezno tako za moške 3 leta, kot za ženske 2 leti. Kako pa je tako imenovan izobraževalni proces povezan s to militariziranostjo Izraela in kako šolstvo služi okupaciji?
You mentioned in the lecture I saw that the point of the content of these textbooks is to make good soldiers. Can you elaborate?
The object of this, yeah, of course, because if you create this sort of patriotism and enthusiasm, and you make them think that everybody is anti-Semitic and everybody is our enemy and everybody wants to kill us and everybody, that's what they teach them. So we must protect the country, we must protect it against all the non-Jews. Today the non-Jews happen to be the Arabs, but yesterday it was the Germans. It's all mixed with the children, you know, they mix it up. They take them to Auschwitz right before the army. You see, they make the connection. So, yeah, this is it. And then they go and they become good soldiers.
Is it safe to say then that Israeli textbooks are Israel's most powerful weapon?
No, I don't think so. No, it's part of education. Education is a lot of things. You have a lot of things. You have textbooks, you have programs, you have the holidays that they celebrate in a very nationalistic way. You have the whole culture, theater, literature. Youth movements have a big part in that. Mm. No, it's not only textbooks.
And it's not only subordinated to the interest of the state of Israel, but to the land of Israel.
There's no difference. Yeah, the land of Israel, that's what exists. The state of Israel is a temporary ceasefire. That's all. Mm-hmm. That's how it's presented. You don't have any map of the state of Israel. You only have maps of the land of Israel. So nobody knows the borders.
In the textbooks, the maps are not drawn. The borders between West Bank, for example, or Gaza and the state of Israel are not drawn.
It's presented as a part in Israel, which is sometimes not inhabited, okay? You don't have the green line, you don't have the separation. You have little dots where areas are controlled by the Palestinian Authority, but it's dotted lines, which means temporariness. You see, and it's the same color as the other area, so it's the same place. Yeah, no.
Dotoknili smo se torej občutljivega vprašanja zemljevidov v učbenikih. Izrael namreč nima jasno določenih meja. Kako šolski zemljevidi prikazujejo judovske naselbine in kako palestinska mesta na zasedenih ozemljih?
Settlements you see, but you don't see, for example, Nablus or Hebron or this, you know, as if there's nothing there.
But the settlements themselves, the Jewish
settlements, yes, the tiniest settlement, yeah. All the settlements.
All the settlements.
Yes, the smallest ones. Hmm. Yeah, but nothing Palestinian, universities, factories, institutions, administration, you don't see anywhere. For example, the eastern part of Jerusalem is empty. Only the Wailing Wall.
is that in a sense connected to the Zionist slogan, land without people?
Yes, land without people means that it's land without the lawful custodians of the land. So it's a colonialist view. There are some natives, but who cares? Sure.
And because in Israel, as much as I've known, you have two parallel educational systems.
At least.
One for Jews and one for Arabs.
At least, no, it's more complicated.
How does that function?
No, the Arabs have their own system of education controlled by the ministry. So they have books that are translated from Hebrew. Very much controlled and supervised. They have to study the Zionist narrative and everything. They cannot study their own history. Mm-hmm. And the Jewish system is a much better system, of course. But they get more money. The budgets are ridiculous in the Arab sector. Ridiculous. And Jewish education is flourishing. It's a very good system. You know, they're very rich. They give a lot. It's quite different. You have a poor system and a rich system. The poor system has to study the same things as the rich system. I mean, they don't study about themselves, they study about Zionism and the State of Israel and so on. So mainly, they are not allowed to study anything that has to do with Muslim nationalism or with Palestinian history. I think they study Islam in the Middle Ages or until the 17th century, and that's all. They can study religion, but they cannot study their own history. Of course, not anything that is contemporary about the occupations. But some of them have these books issued by the ministry, and some of them have books issued by the Palestinian Authority and censored by the ministry. You see? And then they have their baccalaureate in Jordan, a Jordanian baccalaureate, not an Israeli one. It's a very complicated system. You have like four or five variations.
But the ones that are authorized by the Palestinian Authority were only used in the occupied territories.
Yes, and East Jerusalem, but very censored. I mean, they have whole pages blank. Everything that has to do with occupation, with the current situation, with nationalism, and so on.
And how is the very creation of Israel as a state portrayed in these books?
It's a glory, hallelujah, same thing. The Jewish people came back where they belong, and so on and so forth.
Yeah. The expulsion of, and the part forced and part voluntary expulsion of 750,000 Palestinians, how is that?
Oh, they left. They left. Nobody knows why, but they just left. It's an enigma. In the Arab books, in the Israeli books, some of them say they were expelled, some of them were expelled, some of them fled, some of them. Yeah.
They say they were expelled.
Oh, yes, yeah, some of them were expelled, but it was for the best.
Everything has a purpose.
Yes, to make a coherent Jewish state, or, for example, to open the road to Jerusalem. Up here is the Racine. Yeah, everything is legitimated. Even the massacres are legitimate.
Indoktrinacija glede tako imenovane arabske nevarnosti poteka različno na različnih ravneh. Začne pa se že pri predšolskih otrocih. Na kakšen način?
It's not something that you do all the time. You just ignore them, they don't exist. But, for example, holidays, Independence Day, Jerusalem Day, all this, the enemy, it's the enemy. It's not that they, in some more religious nationalistic schools, they really teach them, to fear the Arabs terribly, to fear the Arabs and hate them. For example, to children who come, immigrant, children who come from Ethiopia or from Russia, that's what they know, that they should fear the Arabs want them out of here, they want to kill us, we should kill them first. But this is in the more right-wing religious schools. I don't know what books they use, but this is the message that I hear from the children, you see?
But those books are still authorized by the Ministry of Education?
No. No, if it's state schools, but some of them are, yes, they are. But I don't know if it's in the books or the teachers say it or whatever. Kindergarten, you have no books.
Yeah.
But it's a message that comes across. Yeah, I hear that from children who came here, 6 months ago. They don't know anything, but they know there is this horrible monster called Arabs and we should fear.
Are there any differences in views of the educational system by the Israeli left and the Israeli right?
No, not at all. Same. They all fear for losing Jewish majority, and that's it. And they all want to Jewify the whole place. And when they were in power, nothing changed. I think the ideology is the same. It's just the means. How are we keeping the Jewish majority exactly? Do we, expel pregnant women in labor to the checkpoint so they die with a baby, or do we do it in more subtle ways? But no difference whatsoever.
Glede na ugotovitve naše sogovornice, izraelske predavateljice in aktivistke Nurit Pelet Elhanan, da so izraelski osnovnošolski in srednješolski učbeniki prežeti z rasističnim diskurzom do Arabcev, smo jo vprašali. Je Izrael rasistična družba?
Terribly racist. Not only towards Palestinians.
That was my next question.
Towards Jews, Terrible racists. when you know start talking to someone, first they'll ask you if you're a Jew or non-Jew. If you're Jewish, are you a Jewish of Oriental background or Occidental background? And if you are Occidental, are you from Russia or are you from America? All these things, provenance is very important. They are terribly racist towards Ethiopians. It's horrible, both the schools and the society.
Ethiopian Jews.
And this is what I'm doing now. This is my research now. Terrible racism. Terrible. And they don't even know they are racist. You know, when you're so immersed in racism, you don't know that you are racist. I was talking to some professor who is really into changing things, really, you know? Then she said that there's one problem that we must tackle. This is the smell.
The what?
The smell of the Ethiopians. What are we going to do about the smell? You know, people don't even know they are racist. You see what I mean? And she's not racist. She's liberal. She's working for them. Really, she's doing a lot of good things. But racism is something that's, you know, is written in under the skin. And Ethiopian Jews, especially the children, also the grown-ups, of course, but the children suffer from horrible racism. In schools, teachers don't want to get near them. When children say they stink, so the teacher says, oh, yeah, that's right, you go sit over there. And they don't know they're racist. They don't know anything about them. They don't want to know. I meet children who were at school for 3-4 years. They cannot read and write. Not because something is wrong with them, but because nobody paid attention to them. Of course, not everybody. Not everybody. They have wonderful teachers that do a lot for them to integrate. And I work with a lot of teachers, kindergarten teachers, school teachers, who are wonderful. But there is segregation in the schools. In many schools, there is segregation. And it's horrible. This is really a tragedy.
So you have this formal segregation between Jews and Arabs, and you have this informal segregation
between Jews and Jews. If we didn't have the Palestinian problem, there would have been a civil war here long ago between Oriental Jews and Occidental Jews, between religious and non-religious, and poor and rich. I think one of the reasons that they keep this conflict going on is not to face the real problems in this society. Horrible problems, horrible.
Well, the way you describe it, it sounds like a caste system, like the way they had in India.
Yeah, but it's not that, you know, ingrained. We're too young for that. That's the sad thing about it, you know. We could have been a better society because it's an artificial society. It could have been better. It could have been a real good society. And these people, you know, the government brought them in. Why do you bring them? They bring them for demography. And then they don't care about them anymore. For example, nobody thinks even to teach Ethiopian or Russian Jewish history. They don't exist. They don't have a history. They only learn the history of Zionism in Eastern Europe, and even people from Morocco, from Iraq, who were there for, I don't know, 1,500 years with glorious culture and history. Nobody knows anything. You don't have a book about it. You see? It's so indoctrinated. And everybody has to go to Auschwitz and adopt Auschwitz. We were all victims of Auschwitz, and this is it. So yes, if you want to help Jews, then they give you anything. But again, there's no policy for that.
Yeah.
Arabs, there's projects, yeah. A lot of schools do projects. My son teaches in a Jewish Arab school and so on and so forth. But again, it's controlled. It's, you cannot show the Nakba, you cannot speak about this, you cannot speak about that.
Mm. Pelet El-Hanan je za svojo raziskavo prejela ostre kritike tako od javnosti in medijev kot od lastnih kolegov iz akademskega sveta. Vprašanje je sicer, kako bi se na učbenik, ki bi bil bolj točen, odzval trg. A sogovornica opozarja, da ni res, da zdajšnji izraelski učbeniki nimajo točne vsebine, gre bolj za selekcioniranje predstavljenih dejstev.
No, some of them they're not inaccurate. They are accurate, but it depends what they choose to put there. They don't lie, except for the maps. The maps lie, but the text don't lie. They just choose. You know, for example, I just read today about the Kafr Qasr massacre. They teach the Kafr Qasr massacre, especially after Gaza. The Minister of Education said must teach it because of this verdict. Because the High Court said that you should not obey an unlawful order. It's like Nuremberg. This phrase comes from the Nuremberg trial. What they don't say is that none of the criminals served hardly any time in prison after that. They were sentenced for 20 years, for 17 years, but after, I don't know, a few months, they were all released by the order of the Prime Minister, and their ranks were restored to them. And they got very high jobs in the army, in a Jewish agency, in the government. So this part you don't have. You have the trial, the verdict, the punishment, but the fact that none of them served in prison, you don't have. So you choose the facts. It's not that they lie to you, but the point of choosing facts, organizing them in a way, this is the most important.
Z izraelsko predavateljico, disidentko, avtorico knjige Palestina v izraelskih učbenikih Nurit Pelet El-Hanan sem se pogovarjal Boris Vasel, tehnično podporo je nudila Špela. Posnetek pogovora je sicer na voljo na spletni strani Radio Študent, www.radiostudent.si, kot da tega ne bi že vedeli. Pustite gumb pri miru, ostanite na tej frekvenci, lep pozdrav.
Intervju Radija Študent.
Ti verjameš